Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Friday, November 11th, 2022. And today we're reading from the Big Book. We're on page 41, the last paragraph, which begins with, "As soon as I regained my ability to think," and ends with, "It was a crushing blow." Today's readers are Carrie C. for the 12 Steps, Davalyn E. for the 12 Traditions, Eileen M. will be our reader and commented this morning, Julie E. B., page 164, and Gail K. is here to back us up. Thank you all so much. And the reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Thursday, November 10th is 19627. That's 19,627. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, Friday, November 11th, is 19632. That's 19,632. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive overeating and compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Carrie C. to please read the 12 steps.
Hi, my name is Carrie C., reading the 12 steps. One, we admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we are wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you so much, Carrie C. And Davalyn E. will now read, will now read the 12 traditions.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning. This is Davalyn E., living gratefully and joyfully in recovery in Manitoba, Canada. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, an OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thank you so much, Davalyn E. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 41, the last paragraph, which begins with, as soon as we regain my ability. Eileen M. is going to read it for us. She'll do a much better job than I just did. So please read and share with us, Eileen.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., a recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. As soon as I regained my ability to think, I went carefully over that evening in Washington. Not only had I been off guard, I had made no fight whatever against that first drink. This time, I had not thought of the consequences at all. I had commenced to drink as carelessly as though the cocktails were ginger ale. I now remembered what my alcoholic friends had told me, how they prophesized that if I had an alcoholic mind, the time and place would come, I would drink again. They had said that though I did raise a defense, it would one day give way before some trivial reason for having a drink. Well, just that did happen and more, for what I had learned of alcoholism did not occur to me at all. I knew that from that moment that I had an alcoholic mind. I saw that willpower and self-knowledge would not help in those strange mental blank spots. I had never been able to understand people who said a problem had them hopelessly defeated. I knew then it was a crushing blow. Wow, this is really powerful because this story is such a great illustration of the mental blank spot, which the Big Book tells us is a hopeless condition. And, you know, this is where the powerlessness is. You know, here's Fred, right? You know, up until this point in time, you know, Fred has been in denial that he's an alcoholic. He wouldn't even make the admission of hopelessness. He hears from these alcoholic friends about the symptoms, and he's determined that self-knowledge is going to prevent him from drinking again. So, you know, here he goes off on his business trip, and what was he thinking before, you know, the insane idea won out? Right? What was he thinking? He was saying to himself, oh yeah, I'm just going to have a couple cocktails, nothing more. And can I relate to that? Oh yeah. You know, when I was in that unrecovered state, you know, I would have that mental blank spot. And there was like no pause button at all. You know, it would just be like all of a sudden the food was in my mouth. It was like the thought occurred to me and then the food was in my mouth and I didn't even know what was happening. You know, it's almost like I wasn't even there. You know, like I wasn't present. It's like someone else was putting the food in my mouth. And then it was only after that I realized, oh my God, I just did it again. And, you know, this would happen over and over. And I'm just so grateful that, you know, today, as a result of the instructions in the Big Book, which is to put down our alcoholic foods and compulsive behaviors and work through all the steps quickly, but then we have to continue doing the steps, you know, practicing the steps daily because we're not cured. You know, we just have the daily reprieve. We're not cured. And, you know, today, gratefully, there's no mental blank spot. I mean, as long as I keep in fit spiritual condition, you know, the steps treat the unmanageability. So I'm so grateful, and so grateful to be sharing on this powerful paragraph. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Eileen. So we value everybody's experience. We do ask that you limit your share to every third day so that everybody gets a chance to share their experience. So if you haven't shared in the last couple of days and you'd like to comment on the last paragraph on page 41, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name. Bessie O. Bessie O.
Liz A.
Davelin. Liz A. I heard Liz A. and somebody else. I heard you, Davelin.
Thank you.
Joan R.
Joan R.
Jody E.
Jody E.
Deborah G.
Deborah G. And somebody L.
Tom L.
Tom L. Okay, that's a great lineup. I've got Bessie O, Liz A, Davelin E, Joan R, Jody E, Deborah G. Did I miss anybody? Okay, let's start with Bessie O, and you'll be followed by Liz A. Please share with us, Bessie.
Good morning. This is Bessie O from Colorado. And I just want to comment on a couple of parts of this passage that I just think it's like this story has been so, so important in my recovery. I've, you know, heard really good information for years and, you know, struggled with that, like really accepting, you know, that I, in fact, you know, am the compulsive overeater of the real variety, and reading about Fred has just been a huge part of my recovery. I want to make a comment on the part where it says I had not only had I been off guard, you know, and it makes me consider like what keeps me on guard, you know, because this disease it is baffling. And I'm reminded on page 23 of In There Is a Solution, it says, once in a while, he may tell the truth. And the truth, strange to say, is usually that he has no more idea why he took that first drink than you have. And so it's like, that's just, it's baffling, you know? But we know that, like, if I, you know, with the awesome share that I just heard, you know, if we follow these instructions, we stay on guard. And I can't help but to think when I consider Fred is that, you know, the working with others and thinking about others and getting out of self, and how that is how I stay on guard, you know, today is by working these steps, you know, all the steps, and most importantly, being of service to others. And that is absolutely, like, I saw that willpower and self-knowledge would not help in these strange mental blank spots. So what helps me identify to stay out of those blank spots is, you know, I can see when I hear other people share, or I go to meetings, I hear other people's stories, or, you know, take tens, or, you know, listen to other people in recovery, I can see through their experience my own mental blank spots. And that's like, we're not meant to do this alone. I heard someone say recently that, that, you know, we walk each other home at night, and we're not meant to be on our own. And that's another way that I stay on guard. So that's all I have, and I pass. Thanks.
Oh, thank you so much, Bessie. Oh, love that. Walk each other home. Liz A., you are up next, followed by Davelin E. Please share with us, Liz.
Good morning, and thank you for your service. My name is Liz A., and I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. God, this paragraph is so packed with such good information. You know, it starts off with, as soon as I regain my ability to think, that to me reminds me of that hospitalization period, those couple of days where, you know, you're just getting your brain back. And then I had made no fight whatever against the first drink. I had not thought of the consequences at all. That's just, you know, reminds me of what it says. We are defenseless at times. We are defenseless against that first drink. And then later on, where it says about, you know, I had what I had learned of alcoholism did not occur to me at all. Willpower and self-knowledge would not help. I mean, the mental twist. And, you know, I remember for me, it's like I would say to my husband, okay, when I say that I want to binge, I want you to say this and this and this to me, okay? And he would say all those things, and I wouldn't even hear them. I would say, I don't care. I'm going to binge. I mean, it just that complete, incredibly short memory of the consequences. It was amazing. And then finally, at the very end, where it's talking about I had been hopelessly defeated, I knew then it was a crushing blow. That for me was hopelessness, humility, and ultimately the gift of desperation. That was the greatest gift I ever got. And with that, I pass.
Oh, thank you very much, Liz A. Davelin E., you'll be up next, followed by Joan R.
Thank you, Elaine. Davelin E., gratefully recovering in Manitoba, Canada. As our lead chair said, and everyone else has followed up, off guard. And I think of what keeps me on guard. Of course, I need to work the steps, but I need to live in the steps, and I can't live in the steps without going to my higher power to take direction on everything I do, not just on planning my food the night before, not just on who I'm going to call, but on every single action I take needs to be directed by my higher power instead of me. I have an alcoholic mind. It's something that for almost 8 years, I have been unable to admit to, oh, a little bit here, a little bit there, but mostly I can cope, and that's all a lie. I really do have an alcoholic mind, and I think I've been hopelessly defeated because all the self-knowledge in the world definitely hasn't helped me. I'm laughing. I shared recently that I'd gone from being the queen of self-knowledge to the queen of relapse over the past 8 years, and now I think I'm getting to be the queen of crushing blows because my ego gets crushed many times every day when I take my will into my own hand. So I need to stay on guard by going to my higher power all the time. And with that, I pass. Thank you for listening.
Oh, thank you very much, Davelin E. Joan R., you're up next, followed by Jody E.
Did you say Joan?
Yes, I did, Joan. Please share with us.
I was unmuted. Okay. I look at this and I'm so grateful for all the great shares. Oh, so wonderful. But it's just like the perfect setup for Fred, that these two men had come to him in the hospital and had prophesied. They had let him know that he would drink again. And he wouldn't even, you know, put up a defense. And so that was the setup that made him, open to the experience of truth, meeting his alcoholic mind. And he and it says, you know, like, going back to Bill's story, when when he had that experience of you know, being made well, and then going on for two more years of his desperate drinking. And so once again, that gift of desperation and the encouragement that, you know, not to quit, but to keep turning back to the spirit that helps us, and to turn to others. Like, I love that, you know, walking each other home at night. So thank you all, and thank you for those who are doing service on this meeting.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Joan R. Jody E., you're up next, followed by Deborah G.
Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in Carmel, California, this morning. Wonderful shares this morning on a wonderful topic, that I am without defense against that first compulsive bite. Once I get the idea that I want one of my alcoholic foods, I'm already done. It's already too late. I have fallen off the beam. I am no longer spiritually fit. So to get spiritually fit so that I have a defense against this idea that I can safely eat my alcoholic foods, I have to work the steps abstinently, entirely abstinently, and I have to live in the steps, as has already been said. So I'm just adding one more voice to the choir that there is a solution to this seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. There is a solution. That is the good news. And that's why we're here, to shout this good news from the rooftops. I have to become willing to abstain, yes, from my alcoholic foods entirely. That's a big step, step one. And then I work these 12 steps as if my life depends on it, because it does. And once I work the 12 steps, I maintain my recovery by living in steps 1, 2, and 3 every day, and 10, 11, and 12, carrying this message to the next person who needs to hear it so desperately. And that is the solution. And thank you all for being here so that I have a forum in which to share my small voice. And with that, I pass.
Thank you for sharing your lovely voice. Okay, Deborah G., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Tom L. Please share with us, Deborah G.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Elaine, for your service, and everyone for their service that's made this meeting possible. And I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. And thank you all for sharing and 12-stepping me today and waking me up again to the reality that, you know, I have an alcoholic mind, and I always will have an alcoholic mind. And I can remember, too, when I was actually watching myself, you know, saying that, no, I don't want to do that again. Oh, my God. I don't want to eat sugar anymore. I'm quitting sugar. You know, I would say all these things. Then I'd watch myself starting to eat those foods again. And actually, like, my mind, yes, 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 yes. You know, it was like this drivenness, this compulsion to do it. And I couldn't stop it. I couldn't stop it. And I couldn't really tell you what was going on with me at the time that I was needing to do that. I was just doing it. I just couldn't connect the dots. I was just doing it. And it was awful. It was awful. And then doing it again and again, you know, that insanity, continuing to create more and more insanity, and just being disconnected from life, you know, just walking, just like walking through an experience and not really experiencing it. And I'm so grateful that the solution's been shared today, and that I can have a solution in my life by connecting with that beautiful, divine, loving presence in my life, that power, because I have no power. And then continuing to do whatever I need to do to stay connected. My sponsor reminds me, stay connected to God. Just stay connected to God. I'm being taken care of. Staying connected, living those beautiful 12 steps. That helps me to stay connected to God and to you. You know, getting out of myself, the self-centeredness, and getting into other-centeredness and caring about other people and being there for other people, being present, listening, taking the time and the patience to help another. You know, how can I help? And I'm so grateful that I'm in that place today. You know, it's a beautiful, beautiful gift. And that's all I have. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Deborah G. Tom L. is up next, and after Tom, we're going to take more shares. We're commenting on the last paragraph on page 41, and that begins with, as soon as I regain my ability. And so, Tom, please share with us.
Good morning, all. This is Tom L. in the state of California. Glad to be here. Happy Veterans Day, all the Americans. So Fred, besides being very talented, was extremely lucky. Back then, there were probably maybe 100 people in the world who had this message, and he ran into them the first time he went to the hospital. And, of course, he turned it down and said, you know, not that. I can not drink by my own. And then the second time, this was the second bit of luck he had. When he drank again, it wasn't just a little sipping here and there. He went full bore, and his ego was crushed again. And it takes a lot for me to get my ego crushed. He'd been escorted about for several days. His wife was probably wondering, what were you doing, Fred, for those several days? So he was in hot water. He was sick. He was very confused. I mean, he had just come off a high in Washington, and now he was he probably chose to go back to the hospital, the same hospital. That was humility. He could have not done that. So he wanted to talk to these guys and say that what you said was true. Now, for me, when I relapse, I've done it many, many times. It does not happen like that. With food, it starts small. It starts with lying. It starts with not going to meetings. It starts with not calling. And then several years later, I show up with my ego crushed. That's why my sobriety is so precious to me. Because, you know, big percentages of my life disappear or wasted when I relapse. It's not a few days of riotous living. It's horrifying. So here I am. Now, people have been talking about God, and yes, that is the solution. But if I needed to be working the steps and rigorously honest and all, nobody would ever get sober. It's the ego crushing that gets you in the door. And that's the disease's job, to crush all self-sufficiency out of me so that I can ask for help. Then I'm given grace for weeks or months to stay sober and try to piece my life together using this new way of life. So we can either have the disease do it for us, which might not work. I'm not as lucky as Fred. Or attend to this business. Starts with on awakening, and it ends with on asleepening. Anyway, I'm very grateful to be on this meeting, and I'll talk to you later. Thanks.
Oh, thank you very much, Tom L. So appreciate that. All right. We value everybody's experience, and we want to hear it, but we do ask you to limit your share to every third day so that others can share their experience as well. So if you'd like to comment on the last paragraph on page 41, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
Nancy L. in California.
I heard Nancy L.
Ivy
Loretta
and
H.
I heard Ivy and Loretta.
Mo
Gail.
Yes, ma'am.
I heard. Okay, let me tell you. I've got Nancy L, Ivy, Loretta. I heard Mo H, and then we have room for maybe one more.
April B.
April B. Okay, we can get to all of you. All right, so I've got Nancy L, Ivy, Loretta H. So Nancy L, you're up next, followed by Ivy.
Good morning. This is Nancy L, gratefully recovered in California. I just wanted to comment on this, that I learned a while ago that it all starts with an idea, and an idea turns to a desire that turns to emotions that turns to actions, because we are emotional beings. So the whole concept is, if we can stop it at the idea phase, then we won't fixate on it and lead to the action. And I find the best way for me to stop the idea is to give it to my higher power, to give it to God. So using the prayers in the book, particularly the agitated prayer, I do that many times a day sometimes, and also just your morning meditations really, really does help. And then, of course, having people to call when you do have struggles. And I need to be more diligent about that, so I'm saying that to all of you. Anyway, I just wanted to share that, catching that thought at the very first moment you have it and stopping it at that moment, for me, it works very well. And I hope you guys have a great weekend. Thank you so much, and I pass.
Well, thank you very much, Nancy L. We have Ivy up next, and she's followed by Loretta H.
Yes, Ivy S. from California, compulsive overeater and bulimic, and grateful to be on the line. I read this passage before, this chapter, the big book, in a different program. But it wasn't until I put the food down in Overeaters Anonymous that I could truly identify on a new level with this paragraph. So for me, that was just my experience. I had to put the food down. And then when I read this paragraph again, it was a moment of honesty for me. It was like a turning point coming to this program and seeing how I was backed into a corner. You know, like I couldn't imagine life with food, my alcoholic foods, or without my alcoholic foods. But what I was thinking too is here that I have, just coming to the realization that I had no power, and looking back through my own eating and, you know, binging and purging story, seeing how I hadn't had any power in a really long time, actually, and just seeing it for myself in my own story. But someone else said earlier, the beauty of, you know, coming to that realization is that it became the jumping off place for me, because I was, like it says here, that it was a crushing blow, you know, and hitting an emotional bottom. Because of having that moment of honesty, I became willing to do all sorts of things. I became, you know, like my heart became willing to do things that I had in prior to this been just really balking and just hadn't even considered, like, you know, wouldn't get a sponsor before, wouldn't work the steps, wouldn't commit to anything. But now, because I had reached this being brought to my knees, you know, getting this devastating message, having this moment of self-honesty, being beaten down by the food, by my alcoholic foods, I became teachable. And, you know, I was out of ideas, and so I became open to other people's ideas, which was, you know, people who knew how to stay abstinent, who were living one day at a time, and not going to the food. So that's all I wanted to share. Thank you so much for letting me share, and I pass.
Oh, thank you very much, Ivy S. Loretta H., you are up next, followed by Mo H.
Thank you, Eileen. This is Loretta H., and thank you, everybody on this line, along with my precious God, who saved my life, and also happy Veterans Day. I saw that willpower and self-knowledge would not help those strange mental blank spots. God, thank you. I know that I have those today. It's my step one issue. And I actually have read, this is the story of Henry Brick, and it's called A Different Slant. And it's only a 7-page chapter. And he says, even a man who has everything, a tremendous ego, has willpower to function and can find himself hopeless, and that was me, as the man who has a multitude of worries and troubles. And I had been in program in the 80s. That was my first stop. I took the program seriously with the food, did not take the program seriously with my spiritual malady. And as a result, I relapsed for 25 years. The irony of all of that was when I came back, I couldn't stop binging. In fact, my company did an intervention on me with my anorexia, but it took me that gift of desperation that my weight was actually so extreme as when I almost got fired because in the 60s, I was a flight attendant and they had a weight restriction, and it was getting up to that point. I wasn't obese, but that fear, but that desperation. And this time I came around and I was willing to do anything. When my sponsor said jump, I jumped. And I was so fortunate because my first sponsor, it was all God sightings. He put me in the right place at the right time in the right minute. My first sponsor was actually a nutritionist. She also went to Big Book meetings back in the year 2000, which they weren't that prevalent in OA at the time. She taught me out of this book. I mean, all these God sightings I had, but I also have to remember, no matter how many 24 hours I have under my belt, no matter how many 24 hours, I have a step one issue every single day. And that means that I have to use this program with that step one issue. My first principle is honesty. And then I have to work 1, 2, and 3. Make that decision to turn my will, that's my thinking, over to the care of God as I understood him. And then my actions are my life. And that's what I have to do every day. I'm never, ever cured. Nobody who got up, or everybody who got up earlier than me is more abstinent than me. Thank you. And so this program works, but you need to do the work and have God. And I pray that God is within you all today. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Loretta H. Mo H., you're up next, followed by April B.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everybody. My name is Mo H. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Walnut Creek, California. Great shares and a great chapter. More about alcoholism. Well, it's more about relapse for me. It's all about, these bill is really zeroing in on this mental twist of ours. And this is like the fourth story he's telling us. You know, we've had the jaywalker, we've had the man of 30, we have Jim, now the jaywalker. You know, once again, amnesia, it happens. Amnesia with food for me. I just start and it's like, how did that happen? I don't know how that happened. And I all of a sudden I'm knee deep in the food and I don't know what happened. And it looks like, you know, Fred here, he knows what he did. He said, not only had I been off guard, he had made no fight against the first drink and not even thought of the consequences. I never thought of the consequences. All I thought of was, I want that, and I want more of that, and eat more and more and more. And so, you know, studying this book has, and being in these rooms for many, many years, but more so in vision, I have really come to understand that disease is between my ears. It's not the food, it's in my head. And it's everything that the disease tells me that I have to combat every day. And the way I do that is I connect. I connect. Connection is important. And I lost that connection after my husband died. And I, you know, it was just hard for me to talk with people. And, you know, the disease snuck in there. And so I connect. I connect with God in the morning. I connect with my sponsor. I connect with sponsees. And then on meetings like this, where we all get to connect with each other and hear each other's stories, and so that we can stay alert and alive against the disease. Once I, you know, I hear some crazy thought coming into my head, I go, nope, I'm going to go make a phone call. I'm going to go write. I'm going to do something about it. So I have to constantly be on guard every day of my life, as I heard many other shares. Step 1, 2, and 3, and 10, 11, and 12, all the time, all the time. So with that, I humbly pass. Thank you.
Perfect timing. Thank you so much, Mo H. April B., you is up next, and it looks like we might have time for maybe another share or two on page 41, the last paragraph, as soon as I regain my ability to think. So please share with us, April B.
Thanks, and thank you, Team Friday, for November. This is April B., a compulsive overeater, and oh my God, the first, you know, so much happening here. The very first sentence, though, as soon as I regained my ability to think. So clearly, once I'm in the food, I do not have the ability to think, to reason. My God-given sense is gone. All I can do when I'm in the food is get more of the food, right? That's what happens once I'm in it. But what happened before I was in it, right? Fred was having a fine time. Not a cloud in the sky, it said. Not a cloud on the horizon. It says previously, everything was going great. Hadn't been drinking, partaking, so wasn't cravings because the stuff wasn't in him. And yet, that strange mental twist, the thought crossed his mind. And I have had this happen to me, you know, a million times. Honestly, it happened just this week. The thought crossed my mind and would not get out. And I, you know, of course, I did all the things we're told to do, right? I made the calls. I did some writing. I, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I forgot to pray. I didn't think to pray until, you know, long after the fact. And, but, you know, grace of God, I was able to move past the mental twist and the thoughts that kept coming in and coming in and coming in and coming in. But how does it happen? And how do we guard against? You know, people have shared how important it is to, you know, and for me too, to stay spiritually connected. You know, that spiritual awareness and consciousness and awakening that it talks about in the book, you know, I have to rebuild it all the time. I have to keep connecting. I have to, you know, keep surrendering. And so I pray for, you know, in my morning meditation, I ask for willingness and surrender. Because, of course, Fred was leaning on self-knowledge and didn't think he was powerless and was like, psh, making too big a thing of a small problem. No problem. No worries. Got this. You know? And if I am not reforging that spiritual connection every day, I will be exactly in that place thinking I'm doing it on my own and I got it. And it's no problem. And then there will be an insane thought. And if I go into the food, it's just nothing but insane thoughts. Like I lose complete loss of mind. And until I recognize the crushing blow. I mean, let's face it, from the first bite, I'm crushed. I just don't recognize it until who knows how long, weeks, months, years of relapse. For me anyway, that's how it goes. And I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, April B. And though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day. So if you haven't shared in the last 3 days, we really just have time for one share. And who would like to take that?
Kelly K. from North Carolina.
Oh, my gosh. I heard a whole bunch of names. Let's try that one more time.
Brandy M.
Gail K.
Okay. I'm sorry. The first was a conglomeration of names, but I did hear Lee H. first, and then I heard Brandy M. after that. So, Lee, share with us, and I don't think there's going to be time, Brandy, but please share with us, Lee.
Thank you so much, moderator, for your service this morning. I am Lee H. I'm from Tennessee, but I'm in California, and the shares have just been incredible this morning. And I think what jumps out to me is that I really cannot do anything without the help of my higher power, because it is a step one issue for me and always will be. And just that first idea, I think there's still so much self-will and self-seeking inside that rebels against the idea that I'm powerless over just this little one extra bite. It's not going to matter. And I can relate to a share about how I can go for months and years and be just living in this dishonesty and not really, you know, realizing that it's killing me. It's killing me. And so I just need to stay aware. I need to ask God every morning to just help me to do whatever it is I need to do and just bring every idea to the forefront to Him. And I know that's where the answer is, but really it's my higher power, because I can't even figure the steps out sometimes. And I'm working a fourth step and really asking God to help me get to the root of why it is that I don't believe He can give me enough. Like, I have to do it myself. And so I just need to ask God to show me, where does that come from? And give me the power to realize how much He loves me and how much He wants to give me. And He has so many blessings ahead for me. And that all I need to do is just to surrender to Him this morning. So thanks so much for your service, and I'll pass.
Oh, thank you very much, Lee H. Appreciate your share, and so wish we had time for everybody. But we're going to now transition the meeting and close by reading the big book on page 164. So I'll now ask Julie E. B. to please read a vision for you.
Hi, this is Julie E. B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you can't transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thanks.